damn right, man. We're back. It's Fans of Patrol. I'm Montego. With me, his entire posse, Miss Tiffobot. Say what's up this week to the people, Tiff.
Ow! It's Halloween. Did you know it's a blue moon?
Yeah, over the whole country.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, every time zone. It's amazing. So
I missed it?
Not yet. It'll be tonight.
No, it's tonight.
Oh, good.
Right, so we're recording on Halloween, y'all. Coming to you, live and recorded from Cleveland and Des Moines. So
coming to you dead, Cleveland and Des Moines. I'm like the Crypt Keeper. Remember that guy? What, terrible.
Hello, kitties.
Yeah, you gotta do that.
Yeah. I'm here to beat your ass every night.
I used to love that show.
He would make like puns that were just terrible.
Yeah, they were, but I was like 12, so I thought it was a great.
Yeah, they were great. Like for children, they were good, but it was for adults. Anyway.
Yeah, man. So, you know, it's episode 310. It's Halloween, and we're done with a spooky boogie because, you know, when you hear this, it'll be November 1st, and you'll be like, it's not spooky no more. I'm hungry. So we didn't do that. So it's show number, episode 310, man. This week, man, we're doing Enola Holmes, man, because sometimes on this show, y'all, we keep our damn promises, you know? We most of the time we don't. But we said a few weeks ago, we said we're going to do Enola Holmes, and then, you know, Halloween busting the scene. And so it took over, so that's okay. So we actually keeping our promise, and we're coming back to that. In the news, this, wait a minute, mister.
S-M-O-O-V-E, spell smooth, not forgotten.
No, I'm not.
Oh, my God. I was going to say, I hope he says forgotten.
No.
Oh, fuck.
Full disclosure, because I won't be clowned on like that. We've had some technical difficulties, y'all. So this is our second time starting this recording. And so we did all this already.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, my God. You guys, Mr. Button all the way to the top can't even have a little joke. He's got to tell everyone that, like, ooh.
This is why.
We had technical difficulties. Right. Ooh.
Not at my expense, you bastards. Never. So anyway, man, let's see. What we got in the news today, man? We are talking a little Marvel Moon Knight action on a blue moon.
Oh,
yes, it's perfect.
Boom, boom, boom. Just keep doing that smooth. Boom, boom. Just
Never mind, smooth. Remember those little mice that sang that in Babe?
I was too old for Babe.
Yeah,
well, shout out to everyone else who grew up in my era. We know.
Right. And we also have some Halloween news, man, for next year. So we're going to talk about that.
Oh, okay.
And if things couldn't get worse, we got a trailer by Michael Bay that can show you just how bad shit can get.
Yeah.
But before we get going 100%, man, I got some bad news this morning, man. Mm-mm. One of my idols, and I don't have many, man. I don't have many, you know. I love Muhammad Ali, man. You know, he's my number one idol on the planet.
Right.
You know, I love James Bond, man, but not all of them. But I love Sean Connery. He passed today.
Oh.
007 himself. And then my god dang on Coho said something that blew me out the damn water. You know how people just crush your ass? You know, I got crushed this morning.
I did tell him.
Yes, please explain.
That Sean Connery was known to promote the hitting of women should they need it. So he was kind of a piece of shit.
Yes, he likes to smack a wench after a stiff shot of brandy.
Oh, son of a bitch.
I like to backhand him after a nice shot of scotch.
God damn it, smooth. I just can't believe this, man. You know, he was a man's man. He was, but I guess he wasn't a woman's man, huh? Shit.
I mean, here's the thing, and I'm not condoning his behavior. I'm just saying that, like, a lot of people are garbage. A lot of famous people are garbage.
Yeah, the internet. You know,
damn it.
You think Kermit the Frog is good? Wait till you see the internet, buddy. They got some footage on him.
Son of a gun, man. Just crush me. Y'all crush me today.
Yeah.
Well. And I'm like the only one in the room who didn't know, you know. I'm like,
oh, I was like running in on the way here, and I was like, I'm gonna crush his dreams.
Son of a bitch.
You didn't know about my behavior, Montego.
No, I didn't, man. I thought that, you know, I was gonna do a nice little spread, you know, James Brown, play the music, all this shit.
I choke women too sometimes.
Son of a bitch, doing sex probably. Anyway,
me on the way to the podcast.
So anyway, man, for us who James just got crushed, you know. You know, he passed. So James Bond number one is no more. So the television will probably be filled with James Bond for the next week.
Rest in peace. Yeah. He did that weird movie too, didn't he? He did a couple weird ones.
Well, he did. He did one of my other favorite movies in the world.
What's that? Finding Forrester?
No. Oh, which is a great movie.
Oh, and that's to say that I like that movie.
Pretty good. We got Indiana Jones, you know. But
oh yes.
But here we go. What is it? The Highlander, man.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
45 did that. That shit was so funny, man.
Man, the hell with them. I love that movie. I love that movie.
Yeah, man. I was laughing all day with that.
So anyway, man. Is that? Oh no, we're not done. We're not done. We're not even nearly done. We got a one shot, man. We've been waiting on this October 30th to come around like a heart attack, and it came in with a bolt of lightning and dropping thunder with the Mandalorian number one season 2. And if you don't have Disney, wait till all these come out before you go, because they do them one at a time, y'all.
Right.
Streaming is getting smart. Speaking of streaming, y'all see Netflix has raised their price again?
Whoa. Hey, speaking of streaming, did you know Quibi went under?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
6 months. Yo, but they got a whole lot of startup money. They got like 30-some million or damn near $1 billion.
Probably billion, I would imagine.
Yeah, and they went under like that. Just think of the money. If you gave me just a percentage of that, I'm having shit rocking, dog. Oh,
I wouldn't have nothing rocking. Well, they did, though. I'd be nice and safe.
They did.
Well, the thing about it is that, like, don't you think? Okay, what I did watch on Quibi, I thought was well done.
I did too.
I thought was interesting. I thought like was fun to watch, and like they had good actors.
Yeah.
Here's my thing with it, and I think this is where they went wrong. Mm-hmm. When you're a little baby company like that, you can't just be like, we released 40 shows that we think you're gonna want to watch. You have to have already had. Like, you have to, like, be a Netflix where you're like, we started out with 30 movies you might want to watch and one thing you really want to watch. And then after years and years of work, we have hundreds of things that you really, really want to watch and thousands of things you don't care about.
So you're like, they need to come in and be like, yeah, walk around the house. We got nice stuff. Sit on the couch. Have a banana. Right. You know? You can't come in here and be like, look.
All hyper and shit. Yeah, scaring people away. Well, yeah.
Come relax. Sit around, you know. Yeah. Anyway, I might agree with you with that, Tiff. It makes a lot of sense to me.
Slowly pull them in. Yeah.
So the big daddy for the day is Enola Holmes, man, starring a whole bunch of people. So saying all that, let's get the hell out of here and come right back. You guys ready to roll?
Yep.
Yeah.
I almost left y'all behind. Let's go.
This is Joey from the So Wizard Podcast, and you are listening to the Geek World All-Stars Podcast Network.
The Geek World All-Stars Podcast Network.
This is the Geek World All-Stars Podcast Network.
All right, man, we're back with the Groovy Tunes. Everything is feeling good, man. It's a Saturday. Anyway, coming again live from Cleveland, Ohio in Des Moines. We ought to, you know, to start planting our flag and shit, you know. So we got a Patreon, y'all. Tim, could you tell the people about it?
Absolutely. We have a Patreon for you folks. We have some prize levels. And you guys, the more Patreons we get, the more that we will obviously increase our giving. Like, we will have different tiers and different stuff that we can give to you. But this is our first try. So, like, if you go there and you're not super pleased with what you see, I don't know why you wouldn't be, because it's great. We give you extra episodes. We have some coasters. And then, oh my God, if you give us $10 a month, we'll let you be on the fucking show.
On the show, man.
You get to play a game with us. So, go ahead and check that out. It's very easy to find. You just go to Patreon, which is a weird word. It's Patreon. And then you can just search for Fans on Patrol. And you will find us, because we're the only ones. And we do have a new Patreon this month. It's Tamika. So hello and thank you.
All right. More cash for that ass, you know. Make you feel fast as you
and I want to let you guys all know, Tamika became a $3 tier member. And because of that, she's going to get, along with all our other $3 tier members and above, coasters that I designed. I designed those.
And they are cool as shit.
It is.
They are beautiful. I love them.
So as soon as you sign up, you'll get that from me. I'm going to write you a little personal note. And then you'll have some mementos from obviously your favorite podcast. Why wouldn't you give me $3?
Damn, you know, I just have to say that with the coasters, man, you know, they're themed on our personalities. Y'all's is better than mine. You know, y'all, God damn it. Y'all's is just nice. Not that mine ain't
what?
Nice. What? Not that mine ain't nice. Y'all's just better shit, you know.
God oh, damn. I thought yours was the best one.
No, I thought yours was pretty good, Tiff. You know, the eye.
She got that Prince going
yeah,
up there.
Right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Maybe I'm just like my mother. She never said this, but
yeah, okay, I think we have talked about this before. Mm-hmm. But you know that my mom loves Prince.
Oh, no, I don't, that's a new one. Okay. Your mom was yes. instantly cool.
And she, when we were growing up, I remember she would be like, he's just so handsome.
Yeah. Let's move on. So thanks for that very new Patreon. Hey y'all got to get on board. We dropped the Jean-Claude Van Damme show. This week, man, special guest, Random Randy Savage. We're doing Jurassic Park, man. We went old school.
Watch out, goats.
Right. And little kids and electricity.
Right.
Yeah. Watch out, everyone, honestly.
So that'll be this week, man. So we got more to come, man. So if you like them lockdown shows, that's all it is. It just don't have that old oldie but goldie saying lockdown.
$1 a month. You would drop that on the street and forget about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you would.
Yeah. You paid more than that in finance charges anytime you use your credit card.
Yep. So. That's less than a bottle of water.
Oh, boy. There you go.
Yeah.
So that's Patreon. Smooth.
Yes, sir.
Tell everybody where they can find us at, because they might want to switch to a different platform.
Okay.
For everything, follows up.
Come on, get out of here.
For everything, Fans on Patrol, you can go to fansonpatrol.com. If you were to reach us directly at fans@fansonpatrol.com, that's one word, via social media on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, and at Fans on Patrol. If you want to listen to us, you can listen to us on Now. Is that a platform? Now? Or is that just Miss, you know what I'm saying?
Smooth, I'ma kill
you. All right, never mind. You can listen to us on Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Podbeam, Stitcher, Satchel, Podknife, TuneIn, and subscribe to us on YouTube. Please give us a 5-star rating and review on your favorite listening platform, and then we will shout you out on the air, motherfuckers.
All right. Everybody's rambunctious today. Oh, my goodness. Okay. So let's get into what are we doing here. First bit of news, man. So this actually made me kind of happy, man. I said, I'm going to have to, you know, bring this to Tifflebot's attention, man. So, you know, we love Moon Knight on this show. I know particularly yes. Tiff really loves Moon Knight. I'm a heavy-duty Moon Knight fan. I know Smooth likes Moon Knight. And so, you know, they've been talking about bringing him to the Marvel Universe, you know, and they had the big shakeup. If you ask me, he would have been perfect in that Netflix Marvel Universe, but it didn't happen.
Oh, yeah.
And would have been perfect. So they've been floating actors for, you know, the role. Keanu Reeves has been a, you know, over and over they've been bringing up Keanu Reeves because he's supposed to be having some deal with Marvel, either with Marvel or Star Wars. Mm. But, you know, it was leaked that, you know, a Disney Plus series is coming to, you know, a Moon Knight Disney Plus series is slated to happen. And right now they're in ongoing talks with your friend and mine, Oscar Isaac, to play the role.
Oh, yeah?
Now, when I saw that, you know, I was pretty impressed because, one, you know, I love diversity, man. I get tired of just seeing the same stuff. And Hollywood has been responding because we're not the only ones that just, you know, tired of this, you know, blue-eyed, you know, heroes, you know,
right.
being the heroes. And so now, you know, more ethnic characters, ethnic actors, you know, have been getting, you know, the call to come do these things so we can see, you know, our characters from different perspectives.
So Oscar Isaac, he's not white?
He's Jewish, I believe.
Poe Dameron.
I think he's, he's Latino.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think he might be Latino as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. All
right.
So he's a little bit of everything in there, man. You
a little
know?
Mixture.
Yeah. Yeah. All he's all in there. All
right.
So, you know, I think that would be damn near. I never thought about him, but personally, yeah. I thought it was perfect casting. Tiff, what do you think about this?
So I actually tweeted about this earlier in the week. I said that underwear were just hitting the floor all across the nation when people heard
draws
that Oscar Isaac might be playing Moon Knight. He's just so handsome, and I think he's kind of universally loved at this time. And so I just think, and I honestly, like, it is one of those moments where, like, when I saw that, I was like, that's going to really work.
Yes!
If they get him, yeah. I was like, that's going to really work well. And so I was like, oh, great. The only thing that was obviously an issue for me is that, again, we're having issues with COVID as far as filming, and I think even planning might be difficult at this stage.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, and we're in the planning stage right now, the talks stage. So that's, like, how far out is a Moon Knight series? Is that, like, 2 years?
You just never know.
3 years?
You just never know, Tiff. I think Hollywood is chipping at the bit so bad. I think once things start clearing up with this bullshit, if it ever clears up, I think they're going to be pushing out content like you know, like the day after the blackout, the New York blackout, you know, people just gonna be like, wow, 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 because they're ready and they got this shit together and they got a bunch of stuff on backs lock and they're gonna want to get all that shit out the way. So that's just what I think. And, you know, I think they're gonna go immediately into production on a whole bunch of shit, you know. So that's just, you know, how I feel about it. Smooth, man. What do you think about this?
It's good, but it is good that they're doing the streaming. They're not making it a, I thought they was gonna make it a movie.
It's all streaming now.
It's all streaming, yeah, which is the way to go, which is the future. Hopefully they, you know, they won't piss off the fanboys, but if they do, so what?
Yeah, so this is good stuff, man. I never thought of Oscar Isaac playing this role, but perfect. Once it happened, Tiff, I was like, perfect. That's perfect, you know.
Sometimes that happens.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes you have to sit here and go, man, they should have picked so-and-so. I think that would have been a better Batman or a better Moon Knight or a better Wonder Woman.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, this is
sometimes
great.
Sometimes you get good casting.
Yeah, you guys are on a roll with that. But let's hit a little Halloween news, man. And when I say Halloween, it's Halloween today. But, you know, Hollywood again, chopping at the bit. So they plan these three Halloween movies, two more to go. You know, when I say Halloween, Jamie Lee Curtis Halloween.
Okay.
They gave us that new Halloween movie about, what, 2-3 years now?
I guess.
Yeah. You know, it's been a while now. Might have been last. Was it last year? Couldn't have been last.
Man,
year.
Time is just so liquid these days.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell. Where are we at now? So October 15, 2020, they gave us the super teaser trailer of you know,
what is this? Halloween Kills.
Halloween Kills. The Jamie Lee Curtis, you know, Halloween. That's when they kind of retconned a lot of the history and pretty much got rid of every movie between Halloween 2. And Halloween 20, they got rid of all those and just made it seem like it was right from the first Halloween movie, which actually worked a lot better for me. And the story was more less money grabby feeling, like all the rest of the sequels, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so they showed you a little bit, and if you wanted to see this thing, you really had to like watch it a few times because it's quick.
And it is fast.
I couldn't tell if it was new footage or not, Smooth, you know, until I had to watch it a couple times. I was like, oh, this is new footage. So cool. And then some of it is clever shit because they spend like 15 seconds of the thing looking at this damn Halloween sitting on the ground, you know, with creepy music. We don't got that much footage, y'all. Let's just just give us something. So, you know, I'm excited. I love the Halloween, the first one. You know, I'll be watching that tonight. I always watch it. That's before I go to bed on Halloween. And I'm going to watch the brand new one, too, because that was actually worthy to me. I thought it was really good. And so here we go again with another one. So I don't know, Smooth, how are you liking this, man? I know it's quick, man.
It's quick. You know, it gets to the point. But again, this is next year. Okay, I know it's coming. I'll forget about it. Then you'll bring it back up. I'm numb. You know, pretty much.
Well, at least they got something to show you, though.
Yeah, they do got something to show you. You know, that's cool.
Let me tell you something else, Smooth.
Why, who?
I bet you they'll release this hell or high water. They're going to release it, whether it's in the movies. No. It's next Halloween. It's
okay. That's when they
It'll either be at the theaters or it'll be on streaming. I guarantee you it's going to come one way or another. They didn't say that, but I'm just, you know.
Oh, like you said, they're going to get their money.
They have a date. What are you thinking about this, Tiff? I know you're a Halloween fan.
I do think that this actually kind of works for me. I know that it was fast, but honestly, as far as trailers, especially for franchises that have been established, and horror movies in particular, I don't really need to see much because...
That's true.
Part of the problem with showing too much of a horror film, well, too much of any film, but a horror film especially, is that like then you get those parts... in the movie where you know what's going to happen, so you have that weird either anticipation or like the scare no longer works because you've been desensitized to it.
Yeah.
So like it's kind of nice to like keep it quick and just enough to be like intriguing So, like, yeah, I could watch, I could see another trailer and not be bothered by that. But, like, honestly, this is fine.
Yeah, I think it was really well done. And if you, I'm taking another look at it while you're talking. Mm-hmm. And most of it, like 12 seconds of it was, you know, just showing houses with Halloween decorations. Then it shows a person, could have been a cameraman and the actor, just pick up the damn mags. Then they show some carnage and shit, you know, which probably some stuff they filmed already. Because yeah. I believe this movie was supposed to come out this year. And because of the pandemic, it didn't, you know. So I think they, you know, shut down, you know, filming and all that shit, just like everything else.
Right, yeah.
Goddamn pandemic. If you know, if the pandemic was a person, I would beat the shit out of it, you know.
Well, y'all know. You might not want to touch it.
It deserves an ass whooping with gloves.
You know, yeah, that is true. You know what I'm saying? But then again, you get the spitting and blood on you, too. So you might have to be in a paper bag. I mean, a plastic bag while you're fighting.
Riding back. Whatever it takes. I'll whatever put on one takes. Of those blow-up sumo.
Patrick.
And go out there and beat the hell out of it, man. It's just ruining everything, man. Anyway, where are we at? I think this is our last thing.
So yeah.
I think this is pretty interesting, y'all.
It is.
So Michael Bay, you know, the last time we saw Michael Bay, he did that awesome Six Underground movie, you know. And we were like, yeah, you know. So this thing, so he's doing a movie about, you know, it's called Songbird. And it's about the pandemic. And funny enough, man, it mentions COVID-19, you know, on the radio.
Yeah.
And
a new strand of COVID-19.
Well, why did they do that? Because now you can barely share it on Facebook. I put it on Facebook and a warning comes up that it mentions COVID-19. So that same shit happens on YouTube and stuff. You can't say that word, you know, like, yeah, it's a trip. I don't know what the hell is going on. You know, like it's a dirty word or something. Let's ban the word now, right? Whatever. So anyway, this trailer says that. So we get this trailer, man, and I started cracking up when I watched this trailer because we just went off about how these movies take these happy songs and they slow them down and make them creepy. And it happens with this, with Don't Worry About a Thing, Three Little Birds.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there like, God damn it, they doing it again. Jesus.
How you doing?
But, you know, this is looks like worst case scenario. We talked about that with The Stand. This looks worse than The Stand as far as worst case scenario of how shit could go. So, Tifflebot, what are you thinking about this thing, man?
Okay. I have mixed feelings about this because I really love an apocalypse movie.
Yeah.
And I love, like, this has some 28 Days Later vibes, even though it's not a zombie movie.
It does.
But I can't tell. I would have to see it before I can really, obviously, before I can give any opinions about how this might affect it. But I was thinking, you know, this is so soon. So that makes me think, did you slap dash it together? That makes me think, are you being sensitive to people who have died from this?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Absolutely
like,
not.
And then I'm like, that's like a lot to ask of people. It's another thing to have made another movie. Like, maybe he did. It's a pretty bold move to call it COVID. So then I'm thinking, oh, potentially this is a protest movie. But that's like the only way I can see this being an acceptable way to show this movie would be to say, like, this is my piece of art that is saying I'm condemning the way the government has handled this disease. So that's the way I can see that being an okay thing to do.
I don't know,
Tiff.
We talking about Michael Bay. He ain't much of a
protester. That's what I'm saying. So I'm like, I don't think that's what's happening. And so, like, while I find this concept intriguing on a base level, I really don't approve of this in any way because it's insensitive to people who have passed or have suffered this illness, and there's that to consider. But additionally to consider, it sort of like has it's not mocking the fear, but it is in a way because it's like saying, like, look at what fear can do to a society. It can make you, now this person can't even like escape and they've got quarantine, when really that's what people should be doing now. And like that makes it seem like, you know what I mean? Like, oh, we've all gone into overkill on this. And I don't like that attitude.
Okay, you went way down the rabbit hole on that sucker. I didn't get that much out of it. What about you, Smooth?
Survival Kit 101 with this movie. That's what basically it's showing me. And it does amp up the fear. I didn't
think of the insensitive part, which, you know, now that you said it, it's like, yeah, you're right. Like, I invited you to go on a boating outing, and while we're out there at night, I put in Jaws. Not saying we're having fun or anything, but we're making the best out of a bad situation. And, you know, and then you got to remind, you know, you kind of heavy hit, with the heavy hand hitting. It's like, yo, this could get a whole lot worse. Matter of fact, here, let me show you how worse this can get. I was hearing some things about phone apps will be able to detect.
Track you.
Yeah. Track you, yeah, and detect and see if you have, you know, COVID or whatever. But they went a step further where, you know, they're saying like, yeah, stay where you are or people will be coming to get you. If you resist, you will get shot. I mean, you know, it was just like, and have a nice day after that. It's kind of, I don't, you know, the timing is just,
let me remind
weird.
Y'all of something,
yeah,
though.
This is weird with the timing.
I just want to remind y'all, this is really not nothing, anything new. Anytime that we, yeah, there's a war going on in Afghanistan or something, yeah, war movies come out the ass, you know, and, you know, people with fictitious actors running around in the dirt shooting guns and shit, and people are dying and stuff. So Hollywood has never, in my opinion,
been sensitive
to anything, you know. Yeah, 230 people have, 1,000 people have died of this thing, but I don't really think, you know, how long will it be? You know, how long was it before they started doing World War II movies? You know, from back in the day. I just don't think Hollywood is sensitive at all. But I understand exactly what you're saying, Tiffelbot. I'm not surprised. that's my point.
I mean, I'm not surprised. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, like, if you're asking what I feel about it, I'm like, well, I don't know if I want to watch it. But also, I do think, and I'm not saying any of that shit's right.
Mm-hmm.
It just smacks of like, look what would have happened if we would have let the government tell us what to do during this disease. Aren't you glad he didn't? Like, no, I'm not glad that he didn't give any direction on what to do during a horrible pandemic. And so, like, I'm just saying, do you remember when they wanted to show that 9/11 movie and that guy stood up in the audience and screamed too soon?
Oh, no, I don't remember the guy.
I'm the too soon guy.
I don't remember the too soon thing, but I felt the same way when they came out. It was like, man, you motherfuckers are banking on this stuff already. You know what I'm saying? It was like, right. It was like, damn, you know. And they did two movies. You know, they did one with Nicolas Cage and they did another one. And I was like, man, wow. But that's what I'm saying. Hollywood's going to do it, you know. Mm-hmm. So, you know. Sorry, y'all. I brought this in here.
No, I mean, it's good. Like I said, to me, it's a survival guide.
The trailer, the music in the trailer just killed me. It had me cracking up because I was like, there we go again. You know, we're gonna keep doing this shit. I'm looking for these trailers now with the slow happy music. Right. You know.
Yes.
So that's gonna do it for the news. So why don't we take a breather? You know.
Right. Yeah.
Everybody be all right.
Yeah, be one after that one. Yeah.
Is every tizzle ting? It's going to be all
right. Right. No.
Chop. Yeah, you gotta chop and screw it.
Anyway, man, we're gonna take a break and we're gonna come back with the Mandalorian.
DJ Poppy, Poppy.
All right, man, we have returned and we waited a year, man. At least me and Smooth did, to talk about the Mandalorian, man. So, yesterday was the network premiere of The Mandalorian Season 2 on Disney Plus. So if you got Disney Plus, check it out there. If you don't have Disney Plus, it's cool to go and get it, because if you didn't see the first season, you're a fool. And you can catch up and you can watch the whole first season. And it's an awesome show.
You fools!
So let's see. The Mandalorian 2020, TV 14. The show's about 40 minutes. Action, adventure, sci-fi. It's Star Wars, y'all, so, you know, need I say more?
Right.
Stars Pedro Pascal. In this episode, we had Timothy Oliphant was in this thing.
Okay, yeah.
And the kid was there, and that was about it. Everybody, nobody else. Oh, when we did, I might as well just spoil this first before I mess up stuff. Mm. What's his name? Teramaru Morrison? That plays Jango Fett. Had a quick little look there.
Yeah.
So, man, before we hit it really hard, it's time for one word.
Yay.
Okay. Nice and simple. You approve, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Tiffelbot.
I'm going to say worse. Worse than I remember.
Some, hey, listen, Somebody please deploy the Spandau Patrol murder bot to Des Moines. Take care of Timmy. Take care of Tiffany. Jesus, worse. Okay, all right.
This will be interesting.
I have reasons to say
this. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Want
to
hear it.
My one word, I wanted to say Star Wars because it was so Star Warsy, but I just want to say that it was you're not gonna standard. The show was better than this, and maybe they were easing people into it. In my opinion, I really wanted to see right where Moff Gideon, Giancarlo Esposito, you know, hit that interesting thing, and I don't know, it's a full season. And so, you know.
Oh, you wanted to jump right back
into right back into the ongoing story that was happening. And this was a standalone story, which I don't think I'm that big of a fan of the standalone stories. I like the connectabilities of the, you know, of a lot of the other stories and stuff like that. So saying all that, we already did the spoilers. Let's get into it. So, you know, this thing starts pretty much where it left off, but you could tell a little bit of time had passed so they can, like, get their wits about them. He's on a quest to find the people of the kid. Now, I want to say right off in the beginning, one thing about this bothers me to no end is that nobody recognizes Yoda's species. And if Yoda was the Grandmaster of the Jedis, somebody in this whole goddamn galaxy should recognize him. It's like, you know, he was the vice president. Nobody knows who the hell, you know, I've never seen him before. No, he was the species was the grandmaster. It was only 20 years ago. About 30 years ago. And nobody recognizes a Yoda species. Anyway, so, you know, off to Tatooine they go, man. You know, they get in the ship and, you know, he's looking for a Mandalorian. They say that in the trailer. Because he feels like all his people were slaughtered, and they could put him on the right path to find these people. You know, strength in numbers, right, y'all?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes to a familiar Tatooine, and I love Tatooine. You can go, Star Wars can be on Tatooine all the time. I know it's a billion, you know, worlds, but Tatooine just has that Star Wars familiarity coming from Luke.
Well, that's the origin.
Exactly. Much, yeah. So he gets there, man, and I'm really happy to see the hangar lady, you know.
I
really liked her in the first season, you know. And I was really surprised he didn't lead a kid with her, though.
I don't know.
What about you, Smooth?
Because she kind of, you know, said, you can lead this little guy. You know, she had the motherly instincts and stuff. So she
and she laid down her life for him in the first season. She was willing to die,
Exactly. So, it was kind of confusing. But I guess the kid is the draw for a lot of people to, you know, want to see him. So
Tifflebot. You know, here we are on Tatooine and stuff like that. Yes. Where are you with this, though? You know?
So I guess I said worse because it seemed a little more hokey than I remember. Like, I remember it being, like, something that, like, and here's the thing. That's whatever. I know I'm going to make people mad, but I'm not trying to make I think it's good that people like it. I'm not.
F'em,
like,
Tifflebot. F'em. Say what you want to say.
So here's the thing. from the beginning, I was like, these, like, costumes or CGI or whatever it is for these monsters looks worse.
Monsters.
Oh, is she talking about when
in the ring?
The arena.
And the guy he's talking to.
The Cyclops dude. Yeah.
Yeah, and like it just everything looks a little more.
Well, I'm gonna tell you the Grimorian guards looked off because they actually had they're not suits. They had masks on big guys, and they're just not going to be big enough to be a Grimorian. They should have beefed them up a little bit more with the wrestling, but I guess they wanted them to move around because they did look strange.
They didn't look as grimy as they did in.
No, they were all fat. You know, but muscular fat.
But yeah, right.
Yeah, so I'll give you that, Tifflebot. But I just thought that opening scene with those whistling birds was awesome, especially
when the kid went into the basket.
I know what this is about.
He was like, "Oh shit!" And then I loved how he hung the dude and.
He told him, "I'm not gonna kill you."
He shot the lamp and all the. I was like, "Oh, that was cold. That was cold as ice." But you know, but Tiff, you don't care for this.
I mean, it's not bad. I guess what I mean worse is that, like, when I watched the first couple episodes of the first season, I didn't finish it, but I was like, oh, I could watch this. Like, oh. I would come back.
It's
and I
better
would watch
than this, Tifflebot, especially the last few episodes. Yeah, oh, my God.
I said the last two. So, yeah, last three, too. Yeah. real good.
So when I watch this, I wonder if, like, people like you guys who already like it are you're already invested. So it's like, oh, yeah, this is, like, good.
So we'll ignore
and
it.
It's, but, like, someone who's not initiated like me, when I see it, I'm like, oh, this seems like a – I mean, and that's – that's okay because it's not for you to come in on this episode. It's actually, they are very pointed. They're not like season two, episode one. They are like episode nine.
Yeah, yeah. It absolutely says episode nine. That's true.
So I can't be too critical of that particular point. I'm just saying, like, as someone coming in at this point, this is not a good, I'm saying don't do this to yourself if you thought.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I got what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll say this, that, you know, this episode was a standard run-of-the-mill episode. And that's why I said my one word was standard, because it just, it's a typical Mandalorian episode without the story being so heavy, which is actually the best part about it. And there are a few stories in The Mandalorian where they do, you know, heavy-handed standalone stories that feel kind of like a separate part from the real story, like the one Dallas Howard directed when he was like in the woods with the big AT-ST. I didn't like that episode the most out of all of them, because it felt so,
like you said, it was a standalone. It didn't have anything to do with.
And that's, this episode feels that. But we're back in Tatooine, and I'm loving that.
As it goes on, because he got the, you know, spoiler, he has Boba Fett's armor.
Well, and they're supposed to be Boba Fett in this thing, so that was cool, but we instantly knew it wasn't him.
Right. Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But let me say this. I thought Timothy Oliphant was so charming in this show. I wouldn't mind seeing him more. I liked his smile. I liked how, you know, he never seemed like he was going to allow himself to get out of his lane. He knew that he was in deep shit when this guy showed up. He just wanted to try to use him for some kind of reason. And then that crate dragon. Now, let me explain. This thing is kind of bigger than what the TV show was. If you ever played Knights of the Old Republic, this whole crate dragon thing is huge in the game. And they pandered heavy to the video game crowd with that. Because I was sitting there like, the dragon, that's the hole. I wonder if it's going to have the pearl inside. And at the end, they showed the pearl.
Yeah, they did. Right. Yeah, I was wondering what that was about.
And so, it was all video game stuff. So they made it their business to include the video game crowd, which I dug.
That's pretty cool.
Now, what's the name? That was Reese from Terminator, right? No, I mean, he looks like
Timothy Oliphant. He's been in so much stuff. He was the sheriff in Deadwood.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah.
In Scream 2, he was the villain.
Right.
Spoilers.
Okay.
Yeah. He's been in a bunch of shit. after I spoiled it.
Right.
I'm going to tell you what I think I like most about this episode was that they really humanized the Tusken Raiders.
Yeah, now that was, you're right about that. Because
I hate how they're just supposed to be mindless beasts.
Yeah, mindless beasts. Yeah, he was conversating with them. They had rituals as far as, you know, drinking the stinky water, whatever the hell he wanted them to drink. Right. And like you said, they had a common goal. They wanted to, hey, this thing is destroying our stuff too.
Hey, Smooth, I know one thing. They sure were cannon fodder for that damn dragon tiff.
They was getting destroyed. Yeah, they was getting ate up more than anybody.
Like, two of the people from the settlement got killed. All the rest of them was Tuskers.
Raiders, sand people.
You gotta have some people go so that it seems legitimate, right?
No, it was. Yeah, you do. It was.
I love when the dragon started spewing the venom at the people. Right, I wasn't expecting that. And then we had the razzle dazzle with they showing the Mandalorian has pretty much mastered his floating,
backpack.
Thing. He's a goddamn master at it now.
Right.
So I think this episode, if it did nothing more, it was setting us up to show you, the direction of the future episodes, because, you know, now he's good at this and he's not leaving the kid. Now, the first, Tiffany, the first season, I kept saying, why is he leaving that damn kid? Why is he just leaving him there? Why is he doing this? And this one, they made it their business to show where he go, I go.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
In that bag the whole time. Like, and he shouldn't have been in that bag. He should have been with the lady. And I was like, you should be with the lady.
But even like you said, he was in between his legs when it was at, you know, at the campfire, and you seen the little dog like creature with, you know, licking his chops, and I'm like, oh shit, I hope. And they showed the kid right in between his legs, like, okay, yeah, he's not, like you said, he's right there.
He's not gonna let him hang around no more. And that comes from a lot of the shit that happened at the end of the first season, Tiff. If you do nothing else, you should just, you could literally go back to the last three episodes of season one, and it would blow your mind away how good it is. And if you like Giancarlo Esposito,
he's great.
So anyway, man, they defeat that creature.
Yeah.
And then that man, okay, the whole episode was worth it for me to see, you know, what is possibly Boba Fett without his armor up on that cliff.
Yeah.
I was like, oh shit.
Right. is he gonna battle him for the armor, or is he gonna graciously give him the armor?
Well, he ain't supposed to have that armor off.
That's true, but we know. But the thing is, how did the armor come off?
Oh, he was in that Sarlacc
pit. I was about to say, it was in that.
The creature probably coughed it up,
right? He had to strip himself from it or whatever. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, we had Jawas, we had Tusken Raiders, right. We had lasers. I was pretty happy with the episode. However, I was unhappy with how limited. I mean, to me, if this episode was like in the middle of the season, I probably would be more forgiving of it. But because it was like the season premiere, I was really looking for some gritty grit, you know.
Okay.
Most of these episodes are there was like maybe two episodes in the first season that wasn't really gritty.
Yeah.
And like this one was like, okay, you started one that's not gritty.
Well, I mean, with them battling that dragon, I think, you know.
Well, that was cool, but it wasn't. I mean, that's all you were doing. There was no grit. There was no.
It's like a side quest.
Exactly. Yeah. There was no storm, dirty storm. No Moff Gideon. No, you know. Oh my God. You know, none of that shit was there happening.
No Jedi.
They're
coming.
They're supposed to be.
They're supposed to be.
So anyway, man. So Tiff said it was worse.
It was worse than before.
Right.
For her.
For me.
Yeah. For you.
Dwayne, you thought this was right on track.
I thought it was pretty good. I thought it was good. You know,
I don't have a problem with this. I just thought it was standard. I want to see more of the larger story.
Exactly. I feel you on that. I can see your point where you want to continue at least a little continuation from last season.
I want to see heavy continuation. I like that shit to be so heavily locked into the next one. I love stuff like that. I don't like standalone shit, you know?
Yeah.
Enough Scooby-Doo. We grew up with that shit, you know?
Right.
Never matter how many ghost Scooby caught. The monsters never came together and ganged up on Scooby.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Yeah, they was all locked up for eternity.
You goddamn kids. Right. Anyway. So that's going to do it, man. We're going to take our final break. We're going to come back with Enola Holmes. All right, man, we are back. It's time for some Millie Bobby Brown action, man. Enola Holmes, 2020, PG-13. 2 hours, 3 minutes. Very short. Not that short. Netflix, man. You got to get this one on Netflix. Action, crime, drama, mystery, man. It's the story of Sherlock Holmes, offshoot story of Sherlock Holmes, starring Millie Bobby Brown as Enola Holmes, Henry Cavill, Superman, and other people. Sam Grafton is playing Mycroft Holmes. I don't know that guy. He was looking very familiar to me.
Helena Bonham Carter.
What is she named? Bellatrix Lestrange.
Yes.
She's playing the mom. And Lewis Partridge is playing Twixberry. Oh, we also had
Twixberry.
We also had Burn
Tukes.
Burn Gorman playing the silent.
I love Burn Gorman.
Yeah, he's the creepy bastard in everybody's movie, right? That's all he did is just creeps around and shit, right?
He's trying to kill the kid, right?
Yeah. So there we go, man. So before we get hit hard, it's time to hit one word. Tiff, what you got?
This is not a condemnation, but my word is teeny bopper.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But not a condemnation.
Nope.
Okay. Smoot.
Whimsical.
Whimsical?
Yeah. Whimsical.
Okay, so I can see that. My word is delightful on a teeny mm-hmm. bopper on a teeny bopper level.
Right,
it's definitely should appeal to the younger crowd, but
right.
But
it's kind of like Sherlock Holmes for teenagers.
Teenagers, young adults, but I enjoyed right. it too. So
it's still good. It's a really fun movie.
Yes, very, very fun. I love the breaking of the fourth wall. It actually makes it for me, you know, with her. I loved it. I was like, oh, she's doing that. That's okay. Mm-hmm. That's great. Mm-hmm. You know, because which makes it a little Sherlock Holmes, because it's always a narration in Sherlock Holmes, you know.
Right.
He, you know, beat the shit out of the butler with the candle. I, you know, blah, 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 blah. There he is. Got his ass. Anyway, man, when Enola Holmes, Sherlock Holmes' teen sister, discovers her mother missing, she starts off to find her, becoming a super sleuth. I hate that word. In her own right. As she outwits her famous brother and unravels the dangerous conspiracy around her in a mysterious young lord. So that's basically, you know, that's it. That's it
really it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a pretty linear story that has a couple of little
sidebars,
little things that you kind of didn't expect, but maybe expected.
Yeah.
Let me just say right from the beginning that Millie Bobby Brown, spoilers, was really good at this thing. She is such a talented, rangeful actress.
Good.
I mean, from going from 11 and the other stuff that I've seen her in, she can pretty much do what she wants to do, and she's so young.
Yeah, I hope she don't burn out.
I think
don't worry, she produced this movie,
so she's made all the cash.
Oh.
She's got money, baby.
Oh, she's no, I mean, as far as, you know, young actresses, like,
right, but you know what, I think it's very smart of young actors and actresses to, if they have the means, to diverge their interests so that in case something happens and they can't, they don't transition to an adult acting gig, they can have something to fall back on.
So she does this big super montage, which I really enjoyed, an opening montage with mom showing her how to be an independent woman.
Right.
And I just think it's great. Where are you at with that, Tiff?
Oh, yeah. This is really a fun movie. Like, I think this is, like, I would say it's maybe intended for, like, young women, teenage women specifically, more so. But that doesn't mean that everyone else shouldn't enjoy it or can't enjoy it. But I do think it has a really good message for young ladies, and it's really fun. But, yeah, they do a lot of, like, really cool stuff with, like, this. I remember this.
Yeah.
There was that. And then they'll cut from her young, old, young. This and that. They do like a lot of really cool cuts in this movie.
And I'm gonna tell you something else, Move. I'm going to half disagree with Tef on it being about for young women, because I think as a young man, I'm watching this thing and I'm like, this is literally showing guys, you know, that, you know, these ladies are your equal. Not that you have to put that in people's face, but
they did
a really good job. No, I don't think it was in your face like that. I just think they did a really good job showing that, look, you know, the guy had his moments of rescuing her and she rescued him, and everybody was equally important. And I think that's what it you know, hyped on the most, that the importance of everyone, you know, even the older brothers, you know what I'm saying, who, you know, we'll talk about in just a second. So mom disappears, man. And the brothers come home because she's actually Mycroft's ward, who, with the exception of maybe one rendition of Sherlock Holmes, Mycroft is always a dick, you know. And every rendition, except for maybe one that I see, Mycroft is like, God damn, Mycroft, you always a problem.
Yeah, he is abrasive.
Super duper.
Yeah.
He reminded me almost in the beginning of the Jude Law character and Sherlock Holmes with Robert Downey Jr. at first. You know, he looked like
him. Like a Watson.
Yeah, he looked like Watson at first. And I was like, well. And Henry Cavill comes in. Mm-hmm. And Henry Cavill is very charming as Sherlock Holmes, but he's missing, in my opinion, all the eccentric sensibilities.
I would agree. I don't think... Okay, so when I saw him in the trailer and he says, Enola, I was like, okay, I can kind of buy it. He's got kind of like a, you know...
Charming.
Whatever. Yeah. Right. But then... you're right. There's like something... And I hate to say this about Henry Cavill because I like him, but... There's something bland about his Sherlock Holmes.
There's no eccentric.
Eccentricness to him.
Yeah,
I just don't buy it as much.
Yeah, Sherlock is crazy
also
as hell.
Also, more like okay, and I think that this movie wants him to be
ground it a little bit more.
Yeah, that, but also like, so a lot of times, and I'm sure you're familiar because you're very familiar with Sherlock Holmes, he's withdrawn and very taciturn and he's not friendly.
He's very much on a spectrum for sure.
Right. And then this one, they want him to be, oh, you know, I feel soft feelings for my sister.
Yeah.
When really I think they should have done, if they wanted him to be more like a normal Sherlock Holmes, they should have had him give her grudging respect, which he did that as well. But he was more like, what a great job. Yeah. When it should have just been like, and then he should have walked away. You know what I mean? Like, it was just a little much.
Yeah, I was half-assed expecting him to even give her little missions to go into because he don't, you know, equate the safety and stuff like that, you know.
Right.
So, you know, she's Mycroft's ward, and boy, Mycroft turns into a monster with the quickness move. I mean, you're going to boarding school, let the lady slap her, and I was just
That one kind of... Yeah, I wanted to jump in the TV and I was like, man, slap her ass back.
Really, I thought you might, but you didn't.
Yeah, don't let that lady slap you like that, you know. And then she did, you know. I kind of felt, like she showed the diversity of her acting ability because she was all over. They had her character all over the place as far as emotions, and she nailed every single last one of them, you know. Yeah, she was great.
Yeah.
She was pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, good old Aunt Petunia Tiff, you know, playing the shit out of that role, you know.
Yeah.
So, Mycroft is a monster, you know. When he yelled at Enola, you know, about you're going to the boarding school, that one scene, I was like, God damn, you're a dick. Anyway.
Right. How to be a lady and, yeah.
So she takes off and, man, you know, it's only in Hollywood where you see London looking so bright and just... so sunshiny. It's such a sunshiny day.
It was no rain, no smog. Y'all in
California? Right.
No rain, no smog, nothing, you know.
So, you know, she takes off, and I like the scene on the train. You know, I'm instantly shot off to Harry Potter. You know, I'm like, yeah, this feels very Harry Potter-ish on this train, you know. And she meets the young lord who's hiding out in the bag, and his parents, you know, giving a nod to this nefarious character, you know, going down the tracks. And he comes and look, and I was, I was surprised when he was trying to throw the little dude off the train.
That was eye-opening right there. Like, damn, I thought
he was there to capture him.
Yeah, to catch him and shit. I was like, oh, but then I kind of realized, well, maybe he's a, what do you call that? He has the inheritance, or he'll be inheriting.
Oh, he wants it, sure.
So, yeah, get rid of him.
But I was thrown off with that, man because those were his actual parents.
right.
I'm like, that's his mama and his grandmama?
As we find out.
Right, and it does get revealed later. But I will say that they did a good job keeping you in the dark on as to why this happens.
Right.
Absolutely. So, you know, they jump off the train. They go on these great adventure in London. And when things get to London, I'm really into it now because there's so much to see. They did such a good job. I'm like, when the hell did they film this? Pre-COVID or what?
Right.
You know?
Right.
And so then we get to see all the strong women within London, you know, the black lady doing that.
Oh, and I will say, good job putting diversity in this movie and not saying boo about it.
I thought about it.
Because they weren't like, well, this black woman is here because of this. And this
I agree.
Southeast Asian man is here because of this. There was like, these are people. Right. Fucking deal with it.
Yeah. I actually dug that, Tiff. And, you know, I see your point. I mean, of course I see your point, but it's very refreshing, especially not to make a big deal about it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, they're here.
I like when the lady's what did she say when she was like down in the basement? She was like, what are they doing up there? She was like, oh, they're something like rambunctious women.
Loud women.
What?
What
is going on? And then you go up there and they karate chopping each other and stuff. And so I thought that was cool.
Yeah, self-defense.
Right. Yeah. So she gets on this track and then, you know, she ditches the Lord and then she ends up getting in this fight with this guy, you know, and the fight was good and she was getting her ass whooped, but she was getting in her licks and she wasn't taking it serious. But it brought me back into where her, you know, nursemaid said, look, she's never been out of this house. She think everything is a damn game. And when she was fighting that guy, she was acting like it was a game. And I was like, this dude ain't playing.
Especially when he pulled that knife out and he was trying to, you know.
Dude, he stabbed her.
Yeah, he did with the corset. Yeah, the corset saved her.
So she should be gone.
Didn't she find out that her mom was lightweight a terrorist?
Her mom was a straight terrorist.
Yes. Her mom a suffragette, but also, yes.
Bombs.
There's some bombs. There's
bombs. Yeah, bombs
and I'm like, maybe you should go home because mom is tripping. You know? She got secret meetings going on.
Right.
So they have this equal vote thing happening.
Oh, yeah.
And so there's so much going on, man, you know. And so, you know, the brothers are totally clueless. Sherlock is catching up in his own way because he wasn't really looking for her.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and then he was on the mom's trail, but there was so much going on. And so I thought they played Sherlock a little slow in this rendition because I'm like,
oh, he's more, yeah, he's witty, he don't miss nothing. Nothing, right, yeah.
Yeah, like, I think that maybe potentially they were trying to be like, he was letting her know that she could do it, but they never...
They don't dive
they
deep
don't
enough.
Get there. Mm-hmm. They don't get to that. They don't get me there. Like, I'm like, that would have been a very nice turn. They could have been like, at the end, she could have been like, oh, like something like this, a scene where she's like, I did better than you. And he was like, oh, you know, I had this solved 10 steps ago. I just wanted to have you know that you could do it or whatever.
I tell you what I really wanted to have happen. I wanted to have happen that she had a different daddy and they just never talked about it. Who was Watson? And then she goes by, she becomes his assistant and be Watson.
Oh, that would have been really cool.
Yeah, I thought so
too. Like if
too.
She was like, no, actually my last name is Watson.
All right. Going to be the female Watson, just like Lucy Liu is on that.
Dang. Okay. That's pretty good.
Then you could have a sequel, you know.
Well, we already know they're going to have a sequel.
So, you know, the game is afoot, and she keeps breaking the fourth wall. I love it the whole time. And she gets set up by, you know, the old hag, you know, that she spent all the money with and gets sent to the boarding school. Now, the boarding school could be worse, y'all. You know, it could be worse. But for her, it was a prison just being in that dress and, you know.
Well, I did like when she slapped that soup at those two little prissy chicks that was laughing at her. That was good.
Yeah, you don't want to mess with Enola. She can fight grown men.
That is true. Yeah, and she's probably smarter than everybody in that room. Right.
Oh,
there.
Well, the mother said she was her and Sherlock was. Right. You know, Sherlock Holmes is a bona fide genius, and you know, Mycroft was mad at them because he wasn't even in their, you know.
Yeah, he wasn't in their league, right?
He was just. They played him like a corrupt politician in this one, which I thought was interesting because Mycroft has never been corrupt. Mm-hmm. He's just been bureaucratic, you know. Yeah. And so it was like, wow, he's pretty corrupt. You know, I think this cop that's on, you know, is definitely, you know.
On the take.
On his payroll, at least.
Yeah, because like, I told you to do this.
I know. Yeah, yeah. And so she goes and meets the grandmama, and I have no clue when she's talking to that grandmother. I'm like, oh, so the grandmother's the cool one and stuff like this, you know.
Yeah, they make you think that, like, oh, I love my eccentric grandson.
And I'm going to tell you, they did that on a sneaky, y'all.
Of course. They did a good job.
They did that on a sneaky because at that point in this thing, they was playing this whole thing like a Saturday special, after school special. Right. You know, it had.
You would never suspect.
Yeah, it kind of got that. Never. You know, that, okay, this is not that serious. And then it gets serious again.
Right. Yeah,
you know, and so I'm like, they're doing a really good job at keeping this light, but then it gets real heavy, you know. Yeah. And the peril that she could face becomes real, really quickly. Mm-hmm. Like, especially when they go and they're fighting in his castle. Yeah. She gets the boyfriend and they go back to the cat. Well, not boyfriend, friend.
Right.
And, you know, this dude is shooting at them.
Yeah.
Yes.
He shoots the guy in the chest. The grandma shoots him in the chest.
Right.
You know, and he goes down. The move finally worked. We knew the move was finally going to work because she tried it twice.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
So he goes down, you know, for England. Grandma comes around the corner. They got me. I didn't expect that. Mm-hmm. I didn't think it was grandma.
I didn't think so either.
What about you, Tess? Did you know at this point?
No, I was also surprised that it was. I mean, like when it happened. I mean, like obviously, like everybody says they figured it out. Like you get it a few minutes before it happens in this one, but like,
I didn't.
That's not the same as figuring it out. Right, does that make sense?
Until she picked up that gun, I ain't figured shit out.
Right. I was like, oh shit. And then like, so like then she shoots him and surprise you guys. He is wearing a little plate of armor underneath his.
Well, they literally showed him looking at it in desperation before it happened.
Yeah.
So I wasn't
surprised. Here's the thing. I thought
that
he was going to be wearing the corset for some reason.
Me too.
Me too.
I'm thinking to myself, she invented a bulletproof corset?
Yeah, I'm thinking the same thing.
Yeah. And they're like, they're going to be like, corset. Because I think I thought that because it saved her, but also because she kept asking to change clothes with guys the whole movie.
That is true, yeah.
Yeah.
She did, yeah.
So grandma's the evil villain, man, you know, and then we show the young lord, you know,
reunited with it there.
Yeah, she half-assed giving him some play. We don't know how that's going to work out. You know, she does that thing with Mycroft and Sherlock, and Sherlock, I want her to be my ward. But that, to me, doesn't pay off because she doesn't reveal herself or overhear them speaking about anything. And so I'm like, well.
That's why I think there's going to be a second one.
Yeah, it's going to be a sequel.
Well, how the hell is this going to work out?
It's new adventures, man. It's new, you know.
So she has a place of her own. Mom comes in. Mom's a piece of shit, you know.
Lightweight, yeah.
You know, says, I
had to. She's not. She's saying, like, I did this because there's people after me and I can't have them kill you.
Yeah, I get it, Mom. You get some, a little infant fucking mation, Mom, and I would have, this would have been a lot easier for me to deal with. Look, I'm a terrorist. I got people after me, so I'm leaving you. Okay.
But then she becomes a terrorist by association.
True that. Yeah.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. Let's talk about the pine cone.
The little doggy,
adorable,
so cute.
It was kind of
so cute.
I died. So like, I was like, when he told the story, I already thought it was cute. Okay, I was like, so because kids do that shit. That's a very true thing, and it's also so cute. It gives them backstory. Mm. It gives a little heartwarming. But then they show that fucking little pine cone.
Yeah.
Who did that? Yeah. What intern had to make that because it is cute as hell.
Well, let's be honest with you. Pine cones are very fragile, like the older they get. So they probably had 50 of them damn things as a kid.
50 little pine cones.
Just dragging around the set.
So cute.
Yeah, I like the little floppy ears on it and stuff. So
yeah.
You know, so Mom leaves and, you know, Enola is ready for her next adventure, you know, and I dug it. You know, I'm like, this is pretty good, man. You know,
yeah.
It wasn't overly violent. It wasn't too teeny.
I just thought
I didn't care.
It was very, I think it's based off a book. I think the book may be a young adult book.
Well, makes sense, you know.
But I just thought it was a very, and there's nothing like, it doesn't dumb anything down.
No.
It's very good and fun and still good. Even adults can watch it and enjoy it. It's charming. I would watch this. I would watch it again and
so glad they didn't throw in any modern music in it. Until the end. I was like, please don't start putting no girl. Don't play no Gwen Stefani. I'm just a girl in the middle of this fight. I was like, please don't do it.
The score was pretty good.
Yeah, I can't stand score, like, you know, when they,
like you said, the music doesn't fit the time.
I'm thinking about what you're playing, then you effed up.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. If you're distracting me with your shit.
Yes. Yeah. I don't need to hear that. Hear that, Lovecraft Country. Anyway. So anyway, man, I think that's it. That's it, man. We got another show under the books. And we got some Patreon coming for you this week, man. Next week, we didn't pick anything we were going to do for next week. So we're going to have to announce it during the week, man. What the hell we going to do next week, man? You know?
I don't know.
There's stuff out there. Don't worry about it.
You know? It is.
Yeah. So anyway, man, until next week, man, I'm the host of Fans of Patrol. My name is Montego. With me is my sensitive co-host, Miss Tifflebot. Say goodbye to the people, Tiff.
It's been a pleasure, as always.
Not forgotten at all, Mr.
S-M-O-O-V-E, spell smooth, not turkey.
It is
that month.
November.
Yep.
All right, and so next week we will be
on Patrol.